Psalm 68. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them that hate him flee before him. This is the old plea, isn't it, of all the faithful. How long? Arise, O God. It seems that God is passive and maybe looking somewhere else, but he's not. He's paying a lot of attention to us. But at the moment, he is allowing life to go on to test us. And yet there will come a day when he does arise. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rides upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. So then, the wicked only have destruction to look forward to. They will perish at the presence of God. That is when God appears. And finally, we will be in his literal physical presence. And yet we look forward instead to singing to him and rejoicing before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy living place. God sets the solitary, the lonely in families. He brings out those who are bound in chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. I think this is referring to how when God brought Israel out of Egypt, he put them into families. They were in family groups, and even those who didn't have a family were put into families. He sets the lonely in families. So God is a God of the family, and we must remember that because we live in a world where family is not important, but God is a family God and he wants us to be together in family groups. And that is why he's particularly sensitive to the fatherless and to the widows, to those whose families are broken or don't exist. And that's how we should be as well. O God, when you went forth before your people, this is when they came out of Egypt, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook and the heavens dropped down at the presence of God. Even Mount Sinai, the great mountain, was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent out a plentiful rain, and you did confirm your inheritance when it was weary. Your congregation has lived there. You, O God, has prepared of your goodness for the poor. You see always God's particular sensitivity to the poor. And we are the poor ones spiritually, and we also should have that same thought for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who published it. Well, we're told that we have a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, which is God's word to all nations. Kings of armies fled, and she who stayed at home divided the spoil. Though you've lied down among the pots, yet shall you be as the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. It's talking about how they were there among the pots, cooking their food in the sort of labor camps in Egypt, but God was going to transform them into the most beautiful dove. When the Almighty scattered kings, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, a high hill like the hill of Bashan. Why do you leap, you high hills? This is the hill which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. In the end, Mount Zion is going to be turned into the capital and the joy of the whole earth, and God's special presence will be there. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Just think, just one angel at the time of Hezekiah went out and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And yet God's got thousands upon thousands of angels, and they're all for us. The Lord is among them, just as he was in Sinai, the holy place. You have ascended on high, you have led captivity into captivity. You have received gifts for men, yes, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. So you get up in the morning, and God's loading you with benefits. He's loading us with blessings every morning. So let's not get up in the morning and think, oh, just another day, or oh, another day to enjoy myself. Just think God's given you health. He's making your heart tick every moment. He's giving you every breath you take. He's given you food. He's given you your breakfast. He's given you absolutely everything. Every day, he loads us down with benefits. Yet people often say, oh, I haven't got this. Oh, I haven't got that. I'm cranky because I haven't got this. Well, it's like if you look at a cup of water, is it half full or is it half empty? And we are to look at life positively, that we are every morning loaded with benefits, with blessings. So we're being asked to see life like a cup of water and say it's half full. He that is our God is the God of salvation. That's what God is good at, saving. That's what he's really about. And when we doubt whether God's going to save us, we need to remember that. And unto God belong the issues to do with death. It is only God who can solve the ultimate question, which is what happens when you die. We know that if we are faithful and if we believe, sure, we will die, get back to the dust, but when Jesus comes back, we will be resurrected and we will live forever.
When we come up from water, as Jesus said, we will get resurrected.
That's brilliant. That's right. It's just when you, like if you're diving and you come up out of the water. That's right. And it's like that when you're baptized, as you come up out of the water. That is how it is when you are resurrected. That's exactly right. And that's why we in our time must be baptized by dipping in water into Jesus, into his death and his resurrection. But God will strike the head of his enemies and the hairy scalp of whoever continues in his sin. So we mustn't continue in our sin, we must stop. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that your foot may be dipped in the blood of your enemies and the tongue of your dogs in it. They have seen your goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the girls playing with tambourines. Praise God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. So he's imagining a great triumphant procession of God's people, similar to how it was when they left Egypt and came to Sinai, but even on a bigger scale. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah, and their leaders, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, that which you've worked for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem will kings bring presents unto you. Well, that could have come true in Hezekiah's time, when after the one angel of God destroyed all the Assyrians, 185,000 of them, everyone thought, wow, Yahweh must be the true God, and they started to bring presents to his temple. But Hezekiah goes and gets lifted up in pride, we're told. And he gets friendly with the Babylonians, and he raises this evil boy called Manasseh. And so it is that people, unfortunately, have failed all the different potentials God's given them. But finally, it will come true, and all nations will come to Jerusalem and praise God forever. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls, with the calves of the people, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the people who delight in war. So we shouldn't delight in war. We shouldn't love war. Shouldn't love aggression. Shouldn't glory in it. Princes will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will soon stretch out her hands unto God. So there will come a time when all the nations of earth will submit themselves to Jesus, and those who don't will be destroyed. So wherever we are in the world, in Latvia, in the United Kingdom, in America, in Australia, absolutely everywhere and anywhere, from the smallest tribe of the Amazon jungle and in Africa and in Asia, and from the far villages of Siberia and Eastern Russia, people will come and worship and accept the true God. Sing unto God, you kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises to the Lord, to him who rides upon the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Yes, he sends out his voice, and that is a mighty voice. Give glory and strength to God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are terrible out of your holy places. The God of Israel is he that gives strength and power unto his people. Praise be God. So the God of Israel is going to be exalted. People are going to realize that out of all the idols and all the various religions that they believed in, the one true God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, is the one true God.